A radical push to decriminalise hard drugs, including heroin and ice, will be on the agenda this week at a series of roundtable meetings leading up to a national drug summit in Canberra next month. The leader of the Greens, former GP Richard Di Natale, is spearheading the push to start treating drug addictions as a health problem rather than as a criminal matter. And there's also the matter of Senate voting reform, with the Greens and the government believed to be close to agreement. Senator Richard Di Natale is speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine.
Richard Di Natale, good morning.
Morning, Alison.
You're holding these round tables this week to take a look at decriminalising drug use. Are you sending a message to young people that they can take drugs and they can do so with impunity?
Well, I think the first thing is to be clear about the purpose of these roundtables. It's really to get expert feedback from stakeholders, people who work in the sector, people from a law enforcement background, doctors, academics and so on. And the overwhelming view that we've had so far is that we need to start treating drug use as a health issue rather than as a law and order issue. That means putting more into existing programs, needle and syringe and so on. It means things like pill testing. It also means moving towards a system of medically supervised injecting facilities so that we put people in touch with service providers. That's one of the great benefits of medically supervised injecting facilities. When it comes to individual drug use, we think, and the feedback that we've heard from, again, from experts, and we're continuing to do that this week with summits in, with roundtables in Tasmania and Newcastle, Sydney, the Gold Coast, is that when individuals use drugs, they should be treated as though they have a health issue when they get into problems with their drug use. And that's what they did in Portugal. And in Portugal, they have had outstanding success because rather than prosecute individuals who use drugs, remembering they continue to prosecute people who deal drugs, what they found was that they were able to redirect the resources that went into policing individual drug use into treatment, into rehabilitation, detox, and social supports. And they reduced the harm associated with their drug use. They had more people in treatment. They had less young people using drugs, fewer people dying from overdoses. So overall, very successful. So and that's the sort of debate we need to have in Australia.
Yeah, and so you like the Portugal model, but the thought of ice, for example, being decriminalised would scare many people, many parents. Do you see much support for decriminalising a drug such as ice in the broader community?
We need to be careful about the language, Alison. So
There is a difference between decriminalising and legalising. Can you just explain what that distinction is?
It would continue to be illegal. The sale of the drug would be illegal. The supply of the drug is illegal. The difference is, as an individual, if you consume a drug at the moment, that's a criminal offence. And what we're saying is that when you have laws in place that say if you, for example, consume cannabis, ecstasy and all illicit drugs, when you have criminal penalties for the consumption of those drugs, you don't actually reduce their use. And we know that from evidence. We know that the criminal penalties don't act as a deterrent, but what they do is they consume huge amounts of resources. We waste a lot of money prosecuting individuals. And the effect of that is that we don't have those resources available for treatment and other social supports.
So we're not saying that drug use, any drug use,
is something that as a national government we condone. But what we're saying is a bit like some of the state regulation around cannabis. If you consume a drug, we're not going to make that a criminal offence. But where you sell that drug, it will continue to be a criminal offence. And if you get into trouble with your drug use, we're going to make sure that you have a bed available, a rehab bed, a detox bed, and we're going to make sure we've got the social supports available so that we can ensure that you have the best chance of getting off that drug.
So that's going to be your focus this week. Another issue on your agenda is reforming Senate voting. There is talk a deal is close to make it harder for independents and minor parties to get elected. The Greens have got a proposal to get rid of block voting, replace it with a vote above the line, numbering 1 through 6. Has the government accepted your model?
We don't know yet, Alison. The Greens have had a long-standing position. In fact, it was legislation put forward first by Bob Brown to end these backroom preference deals, what are known as group voting tickets, and to put the power back into the hands of voters so that voters allocate their own preferences rather than backroom deals. But we also have a view that we can't make it harder for smaller parties, and that's why The position we've put to the government has a few key principles. One is it ends backroom preference deals by ending group voting tickets. It also makes it that there's no change to membership requirements for political parties to be registered. One of the government's proposals is to make it harder to register a political party by raising membership.
And you're not going to accept that, are you?
No, we're not going to accept that. We think that there shouldn't be barriers to entry for small parties.
But you are erecting a barrier for entry to smaller parties, and all parties, including the Greens, use preference swaps to maximise their chance of election. The current system has worked well enough for the Greens. Aren't you now just trying to stop other minors and independents taking votes off your party?
So a couple of things there, Alison. People who are in the parliament should be elected there democratically, not because somebody who votes for a particular candidate sees their vote transferred to another candidate without their knowledge, and sometimes electing people with the opposite views to the person that you're voting for. So in a democracy, first and foremost, we need to make sure that our system's democratic. Your vote should be reflected in the outcome of the election. The current system doesn't do that. We have these backroom preference deals that determine the outcome rather than how people vote. In terms of the Greens, I mean, we're a party that's grown from strength at a local government level, big grassroots participation, seeing people elected through Parliament. I mean, that's how the Greens have found themselves in the position that we have,
doing the hard yards
at a local level. And I think that's what most parties need to recognise.
Sorry to interrupt, Richard Di Natale, but time is pressing. You are talking with the government. How close is a deal
yet? We've put that position to the government where we've said these are the conditions. We don't believe in a voting system of a just vote one. We'd like to see preferences distributed to help small parties, which is why we said that our baselines must be 1 to 6.
Okay, Richard Di Natale, we are about to run out of time. Will the legislation be through Parliament by the end of this mini-block, March 17?
My understanding, Alison, is that the government are considering the legislation this week.
Great. Richard Di Natale, thank you for your time.
Pleasure, Alison.
That's Richard Di Natale. He's the leader of the Greens and convener of the Parliamentary Group for Drug Policy and Law Reform. Senator Richard Di Natale speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine.